Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Kiratahunandrapulindapokasha abirashumbayavanakashadaya Yenye chapapa yadapashraya shraya Sudyantitasmai prabhavishnave namaha Kiratahunandrapulindapokasha Abhirashumbaya vanakashadaya Ye chapapa yadapashraya shraya Shudyantitasmai prabhavishnave namaha Please repeat. Kirata.
Kirata.
A province of old Bharat.
A province of old Bharat.
Huna.
Huna.
Part of Germany and Russia.
Part of Germany and Russia.
Andhra.
Andhra.
A province of southern India.
A province of southern India.
Pulinda.
Pulinda.
The Greeks.
The Greeks.
Pokasha.
Pokasha.
Another province.
Another province.
Abira.
Abira.
Part of old Sindh. Shumba,
Shumba,
another province.
Another province.
Yavana,
Yavana,
the Turks.
The Turks.
Kasha Adaya,
Kasha Adaya,
the Mongolian province.
Mongolian province.
Yay,
Yay,
even those.
Even those.
Anye,
Anye,
others.
Others.
Cha.
Cha.
Also,
also,
Papa,
Papa,
addicted to sinful acts.
Yet,
whose?
Apashrayashraya,
having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Shudyanti, at once purified. Tasmai,
Tasmai,
unto him.
Prabhavishnave,
unto the powerful Vishnu.
Namaha,
my respectful obeisances. Translation. Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Shumba Yavana, members of the Khasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to the Lord's being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Please repeat. Kirata Huna Andhra.
Kirata Huna Andhra.
Pulinda Pokasha Abira.
Pulinda Pokasha Abira.
Shumba Yavana.
Shumba Yavana.
Members of the Khasa races.
Members of the Khasa races.
And even others addicted to sinful acts. Can be purified by taking shelter.
Of the devotees of the Lord,
due to his being the supreme power.
I beg to offer my respectful obeisances,
I beg to offer my respectful obeisances
unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. He describes the different categories of persons mentioned, but for the sake of time we won't read the complete description of each category. Pulinda. It is mentioned in the Mahabharata, the inhabitants of the province of the name Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas, and it is mentioned in the Vanaparva of the Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. This Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharat, and the inhabitants were classified amongst the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Malechas, just as those who are not followers of the Islamic culture are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called heathens. Abira. This name also appears in the Mahabharata. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as the Abiras. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and according to the statements of Markandeya, the Malechas of this part of the world would also rule over Bharat. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India. And on behalf of the Abiras, Mohammed Ghori conquered India. These Abiras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, but they gave up the connection. The Kshatriyas, who were afraid of Parasaram, had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly regions, later on became known as the Abiras, and the place they inhabited was known as Abira Desh. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Yayati, who was given part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Lecha Yavanas. Descriptions of the Yavanas are in the Mahabharata. Another prince called Turvasu was also known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadev, one of the Pandavas. The western Yavana joined with Duryodhana in the battle of Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. It was also foretold that these Yavanas would conquer India, and it proved to be true. The above-mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad,
two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnav even the Kirata, etc., as mentioned above. I read the descriptions of some of these peoples who became sinful. And the verse says that even such people who are addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, which means following their instructions, and especially the instruction to chant. That is also mentioned in the purport. Shukadeva Goswami also recommends Yadkirtanam. Now, what is significant is that many of these peoples were following the Brahminical culture and part of Vedic civilization. But when they gave up following the Brahminical culture, they became fallen. So that means that any of us, whatever birth we have taken amongst the people born in Vedic culture, they can become fallen by giving up the Brahminical culture. And that is a danger. That is a danger. And many people who come from India to the West actually do become fallen by association. And the association is everywhere. It's in the media, in the newspapers, on television, in the movies. It's in the schools, it's in the workplace, it's in the shopping mall, it's everywhere. And it's very hard to withstand the influence of the association, because man is a social animal, and he gets influenced by association. And if someone's very enthusiastic to do a particular thing, then, you know, their enthusiasm will affect us. And if they're enthusiastic to engage in sense gratification or engage in sinful activities, that will affect us. There are two statements in Srimad Bhagavatam. One is that the association of those who are associated with the Lord, that means devotees, the association of those who are associated with the Lord is more beneficial even than association with the Lord himself. And there's another statement, that phrase is Bhagavat Sanghi Sangata. There's another statement that those stri, I mean, literally it means woman, but it's taken as, say, a symbol of sense gratification, that to associate with someone who's attached to the association of women for sense gratification is more dangerous than associating with women. So, how is this so? Well, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangataha, you can go to the temple, you can hear the holy name, which is Krishna. You can hear the talks about Krishna, which are Krishna. You can see the deity of Krishna, which is Krishna. So you're associating with Krishna. But the association of those who are associated with Krishna is more beneficial, because by associating with them, you can learn about the process of bhakti yoga and take up the practice. And we see that happening in this group. Someone walks in the door, he's chanting 0 rounds, and now he's chanting 16 rounds. That's by the association of devotees, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangata. And the same applies to Stri Sanghi, that I can see a woman anyone can see a woman and not have any bad thoughts. But if one associates with a man who is attached to women for sense gratification, by that association, he can get bad ideas in relation to women. So therefore, Stri Sanghi Sangataha, it's considered more harmful to associate with someone who's attached to women for sense gratification than to associate with women. So association is very powerful. It's very powerful. And the general association is sinful. It's the whole atmosphere is surcharged with the lower modes of nature, with rajagun and tamagun. It's bound to affect us. And the only way we can withstand that association and that influence is to have strong association with devotees. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangataha. And therefore we have the Bhakti Riksha group and of course the temple. And so our mission is to develop strong relationships with devotees based on chanting and hearing and serving Krishna and devotees, and to extend our association to others. Just like we have come to this position by association. Some devotees extended themselves to us, and we got a book or we got an invitation, and now we're here. So we also have to do the same for others. We have to go out and give association. But to give association, we have to be strong. Otherwise, in the name of giving them our association, we can be influenced by their association. So we need to stay very much in the association of good devotees and follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, the practices of Krishna consciousness, so that we have spiritual strength. And I've never been a businessman myself, but I knew many businessmen, especially in India. And they would say that if your business isn't expanding, it will contract. You can't just stand still. So we have to keep expanding our Krishna consciousness, expanding our association, otherwise we will dwindle and wither. And there are many programs of, you know, Harinam Sankirtan, festivals, distributing books, just inviting people, talking to people about Krishna, and that will make us strong and healthy. And that will be a proper balance. It's like if you eat, that's good, you need to eat, but if you don't exercise, it's not complete. And if you exercise and you don't eat, well, that also won't work. So you need to get energy from food and then use the energy in work. So we want to assimilate good association, Krishna consciousness, and then give association, give Krishna consciousness through our association. And of course, the most essential process is chanting, chanting japa. Of course, kirtan is very powerful. But the advantage to japa is it's something anyone can do at any time. And our acharyas, I mean, beginning from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have begun with the requirement of a certain minimum number of rounds every day. And all of our acharyas, the six Goswamis, Haridas Thakur, and down through the line, they've all chanted a certain minimum number of rounds. And that makes a big difference. When these boys were saying that what did they begin with? Eight or four? And it was hard? Yeah, they were chanting four. And it was very difficult. And then suddenly they started chanting 16, and it was very easy. And it actually reminded me of something His Holiness Ratutvaja Swami told me. That when he used to chant 16 rounds, it was a struggle. And then suddenly he started chanting 64 rounds, and it was easy. Yeah. Yeah, exactly the same. Exactly the same. You know,
he would chant, say he would chant 8 rounds. And then someone would come to see him and he'd say, oh, if I spend time with this person, how will I finish my other 8 rounds? But now, not only is he, you know, surrendered to chanting 64 rounds, but as a rule, he doesn't refuse service. And the holy name reciprocates. You know, if someone comes who needs help or guidance, as a rule, he won't refuse because, oh, if I do that, then I won't have time to finish my rounds. But he just does it. And he has faith, and the holy name does help and make the arrangement. So when you actually surrender to the holy name and to that practice, the holy name reciprocates. And yeah, as we often hear, for one who has the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, difficult things become easy. And for one bereft of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, easy things become difficult. So I'm sure we have all had that experience, what it's like to be helped by God and what it's like to be on our own. It's definitely better to be helped by God. And to be helped by God, we have to show our interest. Like our friend said, I asked him why he came. He's here now for the second time. He said he believes in God, and that's why he's here. This is all about God. It's not about anything else. It's about God. And developing our relationship with God. And that means, because the relationship is reciprocal, that means we will experience God's presence in our lives. And actually, he's more interested in us than we are in him, generally. Like Srila Prabhupada said, because he's the Supreme Father, and we're like his lost children, so naturally he wants us to be happy, which will be possible only when we come back to him. Otherwise, as long as we're in the material world, without him, we will suffer in so many ways. And we are suffering, struggling, hard struggle for existence, earning our livelihood and paying the bills and all the other things. But when we go back to our Supreme Father, who has all wealth, all fame, all power, all beauty, all fame, and even all renunciation, then we have no worries, we have no needs, we have no wants. Everything is taken care of. So, yeah, it's said that the child might forget the parents, but the parents never forget the children. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada said that God is more anxious for us to come back home, back to Godhead, than we may know. But most people are not interested in going back to Godhead. So if one begins that effort, God reciprocates. I said if you take one step toward God, he takes 2 steps towards you. And the way he extends himself is through the devotees. That's how he reciprocates. Recently, one devotee told a story that, I don't remember where it was, but like for years he was living in a neighborhood where devotees would come on Harinam regularly, every week. And he
paid no attention. He paid no attention. And then at a certain stage, he just felt that he needed to know God. And he was, suppose a Christian, and he went to the church, and, or whatever, in his own way, he just really prayed to God, you know, please, you know, I want to know you, I want to develop my relationship with you, please, please help me, please do something, please show me the way. And then that same day, he saw the Harinam party. It was like, for the first time, wow. And he got an invitation, and he came to the temple and became a devotee. So, because he approached God, he wanted to know God and develop his relationship with God, so God reciprocated by bringing him in touch with devotees. So devotees are very important, so we must, you know, appreciate them, take advantage of their association, serve them, follow their instructions, and become a good association for others. We ourselves become instruments of God's love and mercy and compassion to bring others to him. So I understand from Sarvajaya Madhava that this group has come to the stage where it's going to divide into two groups. So that's good. Yeah, it's like cells dividing and multiplying. And who will be the main facilitator of the new group?
We have four or five devotees who are going to get trained together. We'll have two programs, one on Saturday, just for getting training to do Bhakti Viksha. So one week, one devotee will conduct the Bhakti Viksha.
Oh, I see.
And we'll take on rotation at different houses. And we'll have two.
That's programs. A good idea. So are any of the five here? Good. Yes, training is very necessary. Yeah. But it's easy. I mean, it's natural. It just requires some practice, learning some methods and then practice. So that's good. And where are those five houses? Are they just all around the area, or?
Manish Prabhu is actually a couple of houses down the street.
Okay.
Tarun Prabhu is a little bit away, other side of the 635,
6 miles from here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Pradeep Prabhu is also pretty close. Dinesh Prabhu is also very close to 635 and MacArthur, but he might be more a little bit distant, so one way it is good, one way it is not good, that you're going a little bit far. But in a way it's good.
Yeah, he can get new people from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. But he has to keep up his association. How far?
5 miles. Yeah.
Oh, that's not so far. Yeah. Good.
And here, Maharaj, we have Balaram Prabhu is conducting one more Bhakti Viksha here. And some of the devotees who have come is going to that group also. They are also here. Like Balaram Prabhu, Narendra Prabhu, and Shyam Prabhu.
Oh.
So we have, like, already we have two programs going on in this area. And of course, Patita Pavana Prabhu is doing one program at the university.
Yes.
There's so much potential here to reach. So many devotees are looking for Krishna consciousness.
So is Balaram Prasad Prabhu's program also on Friday?
Yeah.
And after these five are trained, will theirs also be on Friday?
We are thinking of doing Saturday and Friday, two days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Just to have better options for...
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Nice. So are there any questions or comments?
I have a question, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, for the nice class. Maharaj, usually I hear from exalted devotees or senior devotees, they keep say that if you do nice chanting, everything else can taken care. So, but for a devotee, ordinary devotees, like me, how to get that conviction, like if you do nice chanting, everything else can be taken care. How to get that firm conviction? What is missing there? I just wanted to understand that.
Well, ado shraddha, the first requirement is faith. And faith develops by association with devotees who have faith, and by hearing their instructions and seeing their examples. That's the main thing, association, hearing. But it may also be a question, what do you mean by everything will be taken care of? What do you mean by that?
Example, you gave one of the examples, like Ritabhul Maharaj. When Maharaj does the chanting for 64 rounds, he gives a time, but still he gets the time because automatically it's one of the things that you mentioned. Also, like when somebody has some little difficulties or some issues, when they do nice chanting, automatically Krishna takes care of them. Things will be automatically fall in line. I hear such kind of things from senior devotees, kind of. But still, I didn't get such kind of conviction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to understand, is it something I'm missing, or am I not understanding that, or am I not doing something?
Well, faith means, as defined in Shastra, the firm conviction that just by engaging in devotional service to Krishna, all the results of other practices will be achieved. In other words, you don't have to engage in other processes, you know, like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, or any such thing. This morning we had quite an elaborate discussion of how we don't always know what is best for us. So when you say if you chant nicely, everything will be taken care of, that's true. But it doesn't mean that everything will go according to your plan of how things will go. What it means is that you said like everything will fall in line. What it means is that you will fall in line with God's plan. It's not that God makes things fall in line with your plan. If you chant with the idea of getting some material benefit, I mean, yeah, you might get some material benefit, that's true, but really one should chant with the motive of becoming purified so that one can serve Krishna better. Otherwise, to chant with the idea that, oh, I'm having this difficulty, whatever, personal difficulty, financial difficulty, social difficulty, so if I chant nicely, then those difficulties will be solved. That could be an offense, because the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments, even in spite of hearing so many instructions. So if we have faith in Krishna, if we have faith in the holy name, then we'll realize the only thing that can really make us happy is our relationship with Krishna, not anything of the material world. But that said, our acharyas tell us that until we are transcendentally situated, we should live, you know, simply and properly according to varnashram dharma, so that our lives will be relatively peaceful, and then that will be a good situation in which to develop Krishna consciousness. So there may be some disturbance in our varna or ashram, and that in turn, although there's really, ultimately there's no impediment to Krishna consciousness, but still some disturbance in one's ashram or varna can be troubling, and that can absorb our attention, which could otherwise be engaged peacefully in Krishna consciousness. But chanting, yeah, if one sincerely chants, Krishna will help. And if he sees that you need help in your varna or ashram, he will help. He can help from within the heart. He can give you the intelligence how to proceed. He can give you the intelligence to approach some devotees, and then the devotees will help you. So yes, ideally, we do want to be nicely situated in terms of varna and ashram, our work life, our family life. But if that's not the case, and sometimes it's not, still we have to just tolerate and go on with our cultivation of Krishna consciousness, which means our cultivation of our relationship with Krishna. Not that our real purpose is to improve our economic condition or our family life, and if the chanting helps with that, then I'll chant, but otherwise not. That's not the mentality of a pure devotee or aspiring devotee. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
Association with a good devotee. Throughout the 24 hours, they were considering a person who is working outside from the Krishna consciousness, let's say in IT, some other workplace. Where we associate for 8 hours, all mixed moods are going on. How this will relate to the statement that you have?
Well, that's a very good question. Actually, Ambarish Das, Alfred Ford, who was a great grandson of Henry Ford, once came to Juhu with Srila Prabhupada, and he was serving like a very menial servant, dressed as a brahmachari and just serving as a humble devotee. But after a couple of weeks, he was to leave, and he came before Srila Prabhupada to discuss his life's plan. And I happened to be in the room at the time. And at that time, almost all the devotees lived in temples. Very few devotees worked. Most of them were engaged fully in the Sankirtan movement, and they were taken care of by Krishna or by the temples. So Srila Prabhupada told Ambarish Das that he should go back and work, because he wanted people to see that someone can be a devotee and at the same time be a responsible member of society. Now, of course, he was a very famous person. So if he joined full time as a brahmachari, more people would notice than if, you know, someone leaves IIT and becomes a brahmachari or whatever. So then Ambarish said, do I have to do you work for the Ford Motor Company? He said, no, you don't necessarily have to work for the Ford Motor Company, but some work. And then he said, but then what about my association? What will I do for association? And Srila Prabhupada replied that while you're working, if you're thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna, that will be your association. But to do that, it's simple, but you actually have to be sincere in it. If you're really working for Krishna, you know, to get money to maintain your life in Krishna consciousness and contribute to the Krishna consciousness movement, that's your association. But if you're really thinking, you know, I'll make this much money and then I can, you know, have this material facility and that sense gratification and please this mundane person and that mundane person, well, then you won't really be able to think I'm doing this for Krishna, because there would be some duplicity. But Prabhupada said that, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises that in the workplace, that this injunction about association, he said in the workplace, if you have some ordinary interactions with people in the workplace, that doesn't violate the principle of, you know, not associating with, you know, a satsang. But I've heard from devotees that it is a hardship, because the level of consciousness, even the type of language that the people use, is very low. It is a hardship. So I guess the idea is you do with the minimum you need to be able to function in the workplace, but not more. And it's good if people know a little about you, that so they'll know you're not the right person to engage in certain topics. And you know, you're Indian, you're Hindu, you can, won't be strange if you say you don't do this or you don't do that. And then, yeah, I guess it depends if how much you want to discuss with people. Like there's a big businessman in Mumbai named Sri Nafji Das, Dr. N.D. Desai. And, you know, on his level, he would have to go to dinners with very big people, international business figures. And, you know, at first he used to, but he was on like a very high level, you know. So at first, you know, they would bring around, you know, they'd have like these fancy banquets in big hotels, and so they'd bring around drinks and say, I don't indulge. Why not? What's the matter? And then same with meat or whatever, fish or eggs. And what's the matter with, you know, they didn't like it. Because they didn't want their sense gratification to be challenged. So then he developed a different approach. He would get the type of glass that they use for champagne or whatever, and he'd put 7-Up in it with whatever, the ice cube and maybe a thing that's sticks out that you stir it with, whatever. It looked just like he was drinking champagne, but it was 7-Up, so okay, they didn't bother him about that. And as far as the food, he would phone ahead, or write them, I'd say phone ahead, and say he's allergic. And then he'd name, you know, meat, fish, eggs, onions, garlic. And their whole mood was completely, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, what can you eat? Can we make something special for you? It's like they took pity on him. And so they just went out of their way to like prepare whatever they could so he wouldn't, you know, have to be deprived, you know, feel deprived. So, you know, it depends on the situation. You know, it's a good way to open up a discussion if you want. But if you feel they're not the right people to discuss with, so then just say something that will allow you to keep your principles without getting into too much controversy.
Regarding association, I found lots of strength in Tulsi Devi's association.
Mm.
Is there any restrictions on having Tulsi Devi with someone?
Well, it's good if they, you know, follow the four principles and chant. But that's true. That's another thing I've seen, that some devotees use clickers to keep track of their rounds instead of japa mala. Now, I could see under some circumstances, but, you know, as much as possible, we should chant on japa mala. Because that's Tulsi beads, that's also association. I mean, it's a very important part of chanting. Very important part of chanting. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked about the beads, you know, he said it engages the sense of touch. And he said, when two senses are fully engaged, then the mind is captured. So if the sense of touch and the sense of hearing are fully engaged, then the mind will be fixed. So well, Mahaprabhu Das in Bombay began it, but I just saw someone here in Dallas is doing the same thing. Because I guess one reason to use the clicker is you don't want people to see your bead bag. So he made a japa mala with 27 beads or whatever it is, one quarter of a full mala. So it's very small. You can just, yeah. So four of those little malas equals one round of 108. So. Yeah, tulsi, and then the tulsi plant. I mean, chanting in front of Tulsi Devi is very powerful. Yeah, for chanting rounds, good association can help. And Tulsi Devi, or family members, getting together with family members or friends, it all enhances the experience. Yes?
Thank you, Manu, for wonderful classes, and especially the example you gave, the how to handle some tough situations. I would like to ask one question, that what should be a mood of a preacher from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's standpoint? You know, how a preacher should see when devotees, when he's preaching, when he's approaching somebody, what should be his mood?
Well, we should see them as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, like lost children of Krishna. And I always pray a lot. I mean, from the beginning, even when I was distributing books, you know, I'd always pray. Like, of course, the main thing is to have them take the book in their hand. I mean, this is on the street. And look through it. And while they were doing that, I would be praying, you know, please, you know, Krishna in the heart, please inspire them to do some service. And same thing, even if I met some big crorepati in India and I was asking him to become a life member, to contribute, same thing. I would be praying to Krishna in his heart to enlighten him and inspire him to do some service. Because it all depends on Krishna. I mean, we're not the doers. And then the other thing is to always try to leave the person with a good impression, even if he doesn't cooperate. Like, there was one man in Bombay, very wealthy man, had many industries. And he was the type of person who, he would allow me to meet him. Not everyone would do that so easily. He'd always allow me to meet him. And then he would argue with me. And after about three or four times, I made some proposal for the Juhu project, and he agreed to give a very sizable donation. And he said that whenever I would come to him, he would always sort of test me by being mean.
But he said, you know, I never became angry, I never lost my composure, I always remained cheerful, I always remained smiling. And he said, you know, because of that, he, you know, concluded I was genuine. And but actually, I should just say, his first proposal, I felt, was not proper. Now I remember. The first proposal was that he would subsidize the printing of Back to Godhead in India. But he wanted his name, you know, a little note in the magazine, you know, whatever, courtesy of so-and-so. And I knew the cost of it all, and I felt that what he was offering was not enough. It wasn't fair. He wanted more than he deserved for the amount he was offering. So I said, you know, I appreciate the idea, but, you know, to print this many copies, it's going to cost so much, and you're only contributing so much, and you want it to say courtesy so-and-so, you'll have to give more, you know. And I went back and I told Srila Prabhupada, and he said, you know, very good. But then later when we were collecting for Juhu, you know, I showed him, you know, so much for this, so much for that. So he took like the hall. It was quite a big part. And he offered not the full amount. I guess I thought they should offer the full amount. But he said, no, it doesn't work like that. Generally, if you give half, then you can get your name. So I did some research, and it's true. Like, generally, if they give half, that's enough to get the name. So we made that deal. So, yeah, sometimes people test us. Like, they want us, like, oh, you're supposed to be a, you know, saintly person. Well, let's see how saintly you really are. So, or even if they're not deliberately testing, but, you know, if we leave them with a good impression, you never know, you might meet them again, and then the next time they'll remember, and they may come forward. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? That we should be expert. One of the qualities of a devotee is expert. Srila Prabhupada said that, of course this might not come up, but it might. He said that generally he quoted this maxim that if someone is very honest and straightforward with you, you should be most honest and straightforward with them. And if someone is very cunning with you, you should be even more cunning than they are. Yeah. And another time he said that we should deal so expertly that after some businessman or someone deals with us, they go and tell their friends, these Hare Krishnas are very intelligent. They may look like fools, but they're very intelligent, so don't mess with them. Yeah. We don't exclude anything. It's just the consciousness. We don't exclude violence, the whole Bhagavad Gita, but it was for Krishna. We don't exclude business, but it's for Krishna. We don't exclude anything, but it's for Krishna. Hare Krishna. So what's next?
Can I announce about the books?
Okay.
And if you don't mind, I want to ask a small question on this. What is the thing that the whole book about how we have to protect this creeper till it reaches Krishna, so to speak? Can you please tell us a little bit about that so we all will get inspired?
Yes. He's referring to the title of a book that I wrote called Watering the Seed. And the title comes from a metaphor that Lord Chaitanya used when he was instructing Rupa Goswami. And basically the idea is that Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata means that after wandering through so many species of life and so many planetary systems, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of bhakti. And then one should become a mali and plant that seed in his heart and water it by chanting and hearing about Krishna. And one should be alert for weeds that might grow up alongside the creeper. The weeds are material desires, many varieties. And in this example, in that context, one should be aware of Hatimata, the mad elephant, because if a mad elephant comes into your garden, he can cause havoc. He can uproot all the plants and break all the plants that you've worked so hard to cultivate. For a long time, he can destroy it all in no time. So that Hatimata, or mad elephant, is Vaishnavapura, that's offending devotees. And to protect the creeper from Vaishnava Aparad, one should put a fence around it. And the fence is the circle of pure devotees. If we stay in the circle of pure devotees, then there will be no chance for that fence. Because usually that offense takes place when one becomes materially inclined, and that comes from, as we've been discussing, from materialistic association, or even mixed devotees, if the mixture is too materialistic. So pure devotees, we stay in the association of pure devotees, and that mad elephant cannot enter. Hare Krishna.
So we have books here on the tables by Krishna Maharani, by Maharaj. There are books titled Many Moons. This is all about pure devotees, all exalted devotees. So by reading that book, we can get the association of wonderful devotees.
That's true.
And as Maharaj has explained, Watering the Seed is a very good book to understand how we should protect our devotional creeper, and we learned a lot about that. And
it's mainly that one has mainly stories of my association with Prabhupada. And I mean, what you said is true, but a lot of it is that